Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church, Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here and we are waiting for Y-O and you.
Well, we do praise God for each of you tonight as you prepare to come on and join us. This is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. And so we thank God tonight for his keeping power, and we thank him for yet including us in his plan for this day. And we hope that you have had a productive day as you made your way. I tell you, this weather is so unpredictable, and it was 60 degrees today, wasn't it?
Yes, it was warm this afternoon.
And so we're yet grateful for each of you who have joined us and have weathered the storm. We had ice storm, of course, last week, but here we are safe and sound, clothed in our right minds. And so we praise God for each of you. And this is going to be an interesting study tonight. There's a lot to cover in this 12th chapter of First Chronicles. And we're yet moving through this first book, First Chronicles, as we in the 12th chapter tonight, and we're yet making our way. But we're grateful for each of you on the various platforms that we have. And we thank God for allowing us an opportunity to come together around his word. The Bible reminds us that faith cometh by hearing, mm-hmm. and hearing by the word of God. So we're going to jump right in. I'm blessed by the professor tonight. She's going to lead us through this time together. And we know that it's going to be a great time in the Lord. But let's prepare as we get ready for this study. I hope you've already had opportunity to read the 12th chapter. But let's prepare as we go to God in prayer as we prepare for this time together. God, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you because we realize and we're confident in the fact that in you we do live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly that we're nothing without you. And so now, God, we pray for each person who's going to be a part of this study, those who are going to be with us during this virtual time, and those who will hear this particular study later. And we ask now, dear Lord, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you. And we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And praise God. Yes, yes. All right. Today is the sixth day of February 2023, and we're yet making our way through this year. Can you believe we've already gone past January, and here we are in the second month of this brand new year?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
I can't believe it, but I'm telling you, it went by so fast.
Yeah.
January just slipped right on by us.
Are you still in new year mode? Has it settled in yet, or are you just back to business as usual?
Well, you know, I don't get into a kind of new year mode. I just keep on rolling.
Okay.
From day to day.
It's just another day for you.
I just thank God for another day on this side of the dirt.
Okay. Well, we have a special birthday celebration tonight.
Yes, we do.
And my brother, he's all the way down in St. Mary's, Georgia. I don't know if he's on tonight. I talked to him earlier today. Earl Murray Jr., he's celebrating his birthday today, and we want to just wish him a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, EJ.
That's right. Let's give Earl some thumbs up and let him know that we're yet wishing him a happy birthday if he's on tonight. But we're certainly grateful for how God yet continues to keep him. And, of course, we're praying his strength in the Lord, even as we each time we gather for prayer, he's on that list, and we know that he's yet pressing his way and trying to maintain his strength and trying to do what he needs to do in order to yet be productive.
Amen.
All right. So happy birthday comes from all of us here in Memphis to my brother Earl Murray Jr. Well, Lady Kim, we had a fantastic time in the Lord on yesterday.
You know, did you?
Yes, ma'am. I was talking to somebody earlier, and they you know what they told me?
What?
They said, Pastor, you better watch out, because Lady Kim going to take the whole pulpit in the church if you don't watch her. I said, no, you know, I don't have any problem. Lady Kim is really growing in the Lord. She's really expanding her reach, and she's going deep into the word. And I tell you, Lady Kim, that was a powerful word on yesterday.
Thank you. We had
a great time as you allowed the Lord to speak to you, through you, to us.
Amen.
With a relevant word, talking about the power of God's grace.
Yes.
That was very timely, because we're in a day and a time where, you know, people need to understand God's grace, mm-hmm. and you really laid it out in light of everything that we have experienced over the past couple of weeks now, with the Tyree Nichols death and then the funeral, and then there are so many meetings around reform and so many meetings around how we can engage and how we can be involved and make commitments. Our regional minister, Dr. Crystal Williams, she was with us all this weekend, and she shared in several meetings with pastors here in the city. And even after church on yesterday, of course, you know, yesterday evening, I was involved in another meeting, and there's still more meetings to come. And so we're just grateful that God placed in you a word that speaks to us in these times that we're in about the importance and the significance of His grace, the power of His grace.
The power of His grace. You know, grace is something that we don't really deserve.
Mm-hmm,
if
mm-hmm.
God gave us what we deserve, none of us would be here.
That's right.
But it's because of God's grace and His graciousness that He gives us what we don't deserve.
That's right.
You know,
right.
He gives us His love, His unconditional love. He provides our needs according to His riches in glory. Those are not my words. That's
mm-hmm.
God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even when we're weak,
mm-hmm.
you know, God rises up and allows us to be strong.
Okay.
And that was one of the things that chapter talked about. Paul said he had a thorn in his flesh.
Right, right.
You know, and he asked God three times to remove that thorn from his flesh.
That's right.
But, you know, we don't know what that thorn was. They, mm-hmm. they didn't say, you know, I always used to think the thorn in his flesh, he had some type of sickness.
Okay, okay.
You know, but it did not specify that he was ill.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he could have been sick. It could have been an attack from the enemy. It could have been people, you know, that were a dog in his trail. Because, you know, he narrowly escaped several times with his life.
Yeah.
So he could have been running from those people, you know, not really running from them, because I don't believe he was afraid of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But he was trying to avoid any confrontation with those who would cause him harm. So again, we don't know what Paul was alluding to, that thorn, but God didn't remove it. That we do know.
Mm-hmm.
That God allowed that thing to remain. And as that thing remained, you know, Paul grew in strength,
right,
closer to the Lord, and he was able to move beyond what that thorn in his flesh was.
That's good.
So
that's
God's
good.
Grace gives us power to move forward.
Okay, okay. I don't know if you said that yesterday or not, but that's crucial to what you are sharing with us, because you made it clear that even though we didn't understand clearly what Paul's thorn was, all of us have thorns
mm-hmm.
that we can identify with mm-hmm. in terms of how we are wrestling and grappling with some things and asking God to remove it. And many times God won't remove it, but He'll give us the power through His grace to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the midst of our pain, I think you mentioned therein lies our purpose. I'm mm-hmm. kind of paraphrasing that.
That was it.
That was it.
That wasn't no paraphrase.
Okay.
That was it.
Mm-hmm. And so you really did an excellent job in narrating and directing us through that whole scripture and giving us clarity in terms of how we can rely on God's grace. And even though we might be faced with difficulties or situations that we don't completely understand, God will give us the power to see it through.
Mm-hmm. Yes, He will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes He will remove that thorn
right.
from us. But yet and still, while that thorn is there, we still have to navigate and depend on God's grace to see us through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to maybe add to what you shared with us yesterday? I know it's a reversal. I'm supposed to be giving the why you winking and blinking at me like that? I'm supposed to be giving the recap. Is that right?
I'll help you out.
No, I thought it was a powerful word, and you were in that scripture, and you were right on point, Lady Kim, because I like the illustration that you use in terms of what the stories that you told about your you got personal. You were transparent in some of the things that we've had to endure. You told me earlier that you had known me all your life, and I had to correct you that it hadn't been all your life. I don't want people to get that confused, because you were not a baby. You were still relatively young when I met you. But we've gone through some things, and you talked about your cancer, and you talked about some of the things that you're still afraid of, that you didn't finish that side of the story about being in the dark. But I thought that when you talked about how when your mother had passed 5 years before you were diagnosed with cancer, that really kind of just tell us a little bit about how you felt in that moment. And
And like you said, it was a fearful situation, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. I had watched my mother grow weaker, you know, as the disease progressed. And when I heard the word cancer, mm-hmm. that's all I can think of is my mother enjoying her last days on earth.
Right.
You know, and how, you know, she was really a trooper. She believed in God. She poured everything she could into us. But yet in her latter days, she was weak, mm-hmm. you know. And it was frightening mm-hmm. to hear the word cancer, you know, and breast cancer, and thinking about my mother and what had transpired with her. Mm-hmm. And I was much, much younger than my mother. Mm-hmm. My mother was 63 when she passed away. She was 57, I think, when she found out she had cancer.
Okay.
She was 56. She lived, I think, 5 years
after she found out.
But, you know, I was 38 years old mm-hmm. when I found out I had breast cancer. So I was much younger than my mother. Mm-hmm. And so my mother was able to see some of her grandchildren. Well, all of her grandchildren. She didn't see her great-grand, but mm-hmm. she was able to meet all of her grandchildren. And I thought about my kids. Me not being able to see them grow up and have families of their own, or never meeting my grandchildren,
okay.
or never spending the rest of my life with you.
All right.
So
all right.
That frightened me.
Okay.
But, you know, God is a God of grace and mercy and healing power and virtue. And you were able to help me navigate my way by encouraging me to focus on God and not on cancer.
Okay. And I was kind of rough with the doctor during that time. I was not playing. Trust me, I was. We had a doctor that really didn't believe in the power of God, and we had to go in and really just kind of let him know that we were not. This was not a death sentence. We were going to see this through, and God was going to give us the strength. And we believed in the power and the presence of God. And as a result, here it is, some, what, 20?
Be 28 years.
28 years later.
In April.
You're still going strong.
Yes.
And you're a witness and a testimony for a lot of people, Lady Kim, because it can really be a scary moment and a scary mm-hmm. time. And it was for us. And I think we talked a little bit yesterday about how There are defining moments in all of our lives that really can make or break us
mm-hmm.
and help us to get clarity in terms of who and whose we are and what we believe about God in those very trying times is going to help us see it through. Mm-hmm. Is the camera kind of crooked? And so we have to make sure that our anchors hold and that we are secure in who we are in Christ. And know that God's going to see us through and that we have to trust God and we have to continue to believe in him, even when the situation doesn't look favorable. And we have to know that God is going to give us the strength to see it through.
That's right.
And so that's a word of encouragement for somebody tonight. I don't know who's viewing or who's maybe going through a situation. It may not be cancer. It may not be a sickness. It could be a number of things. But know that if you but trust the timing of God, and you really anchor down and stand still and let God minister to you, and you get into that word and allow the word to be what you need in order to get through whatever you're going through. You can't rely on people. You can't rely on sometimes even your family, because people will let you down, but God will never fail you.
Never fail.
His promises are sure, and his satisfaction is guaranteed. And as we see continue to come up on the screen, the power of God's grace will sustain you in this season.
Amen.
So thank you for that word, Lady Kim. Are you still afraid of the dark? Because I noticed you kind of... I thought about that.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
Okay.
No. As a matter of fact, I like the dark when it's time to go to sleep.
Okay.
I like dark and I like quiet.
Okay.
When it's time to go to sleep.
Well, why are you looking at me like that? I mean, I don't have anything to do with any of that. You don't have to worry about me being...
Get up making noise.
I don't do none of that.
Okay.
I'm already in the bed. Don't do that now. I'm already in the bed by the time you go get in the bed. But we praise God tonight, and we don't want to go too far off track. But Lady Kim still has a scary streak in her, so I just want y'all to know that. But listen, we're in 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. Now, this 12th chapter, and Lady Kim, thank you again for that word on yesterday. And we're looking forward to how God is going to continue to grow you and develop you and settle you in the word. And it's clear from your time and your you know, going through your doctorate degree process that you are gaining some additional handles and skills, and it's coming forth, and you're really being more... you're a bit more bold in terms of your proclamation.
Amen. Thank you for that.
Yes. And so we're in this 12th chapter. Is that right?
Yes, we're in the 12th chapter. But if you would let me for a minute, just for those who are joining and have not been taking the ride with us, you know, in this book of 1 Chronicles, you know, chapters 1 through 9 in 1 Chronicles was just a genealogy.
That's right.
Talked about who begat who and who was with, you know, who's in what family.
Right.
And we all always talk about how history is important, how knowing who our people are important, and genealogy is important. So that's chapters 1 through 9. So that's was kind of easy to slide through. And chapter 10 just talked about the overthrow and the death of Saul.
Right.
So the overthrow of the throne of Saul and Saul's death. And we know he committed suicide. He fell on his sword and killed himself along with his armor bearer. His armor bearer did the same thing. He didn't want to be embarrassed that he was, you know, losing the battle. And so he fell on the sword and killed himself.
And he asked his armor bearer to take his life.
Take his life,
and
yes.
His armor bearer said, I can't do it.
Can't do it.
Right.
So once he saw that Saul had taken his life, then his armor bearer also took his life. And so that brings us to chapters 11 and 12, which are kind of go hand in hand.
Okay.
11 and 12. 11 talks about David's ascension to the throne and the capture of Jerusalem. And now chapter 12, we're going to begin talking about his mighty men and his armies.
Okay. And this is about 40 verses in this chapter. And I think the first 20 so verses really kind of give us clarity. Then they go back into a long range of getting people to understand about one of the tribes and how they were prevalent in this whole process after David. David is still in the midst of development, looking for people to surround himself with. He's looking for loyalty and devotion from those whom he has brought close to him. And a lot of the men, and we'll see that were really not with David, now they are walking with him.
They're aligning with him.
And aligning themselves mm-hmm. with him. And we see significant growth in terms of David's leadership as king. And I think there are some powerful lessons here that we can learn, even though it might seem strange. But David has some profound, examples that we can glean from that will help us as we try to lead and as we try to put ourselves in positions to be responsible for that which God has called for us to be good stewards over. Mm-hmm. What did you get a text from somebody?
I got a text from my sister.
What did she say? Miss Portia.
Oh, Lord. Well, she was commending me on a fine sermon on yesterday. She said, Tom, she's still afraid of worms.
See there?
I ain't afraid of the dark, but you're right. I'm scared of some worms, okay? I won't be bothered with no worms. I don't like fishing because I don't like worms. But you know what? There are other things to put on a hook to catch fish other than worms. Okay? All right. So, nan.
I didn't know that, though. But I think you did make mention of that because your dad used to go fishing all the time.
Yeah, but I'll tell you about the worm story when we get offline.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
Yes.
But there it is. You heard it from Portia Hopper.
My sister.
Kim's sister.
My big sister just told y'all that I'm scared of worms.
Still got
okay?
a scary spirit. So thank you, Portia, for helping me out with that.
Somebody say worms and the dark? No, yeah, I'm not afraid of the dark. Not anymore. But worms, I don't like worms, y'all. Mm-mm.
All right. So, Lady Kim, this 12th chapter, and we kind of talked a little bit about it. If we go to the latter part, mm-hmm. we can kind of really give us clear definition mm-hmm. about the whole chapter.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, we can.
And, you know, as you get ready to do that, just kind of share that with us, and then we'll lift up, maybe we'll read some of that, but we won't read all of this 12th chapter. But I think it's going to be summarized quite perfectly when you make the statement here that you're getting ready to share.
Okay. So Chronicles chapter 12 tells the story of the men who came to join David's army.
Mm-hmm.
Some had been with David since shortly after Saul, the former king, had banished him.
Okay.
David has now become king over all of Israel. These men were well armed and able to sling stones with both their right and left hands. Mm. They were relatives of Saul from Benjamin's tribe.
Wow. So in that summary, Lady Kim, David is really surrounding himself with mighty men mm. and trying to establish his inner circle, if you will, and also trying to push forth his leadership so that he might have growth and development in terms of what he's trying to do for God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I think part of what we see here is that inner circle had some defined skills that were necessary in order for David to go forth. But, you know, he surrounded himself with people who had various skills, but they had to be defined in such mm-hmm. a way that they were multitaskers,
mm-hmm.
if we try to relate that to our day and time.
Okay.
And I think you said that they were both skilled in the left hand as well as in the right.
Mm-hmm.
And those first couple of verses in the 12th chapter of First Chronicles really kind of helped give that clarity and mm-hmm. definition. Would you read those for us?
Mm-hmm. We're in the 12th chapter of 1 Chronicles, starting with verse 1. Now, these were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers in the war,
mm-hmm.
armed with bows, using both the right hand and the left hand in hurling stones and shooting arrows with the bow.
They were of Benjamin, Saul's brother. Okay. Brethren.
That's the second verse?
Yes.
Okay. And so one of the things here, and if we try to allow this to live for us and try to get relevance from just those first two verses, what would you kind of do as a summary of those verses?
Well, like you said, they were multitaskers. These men, they were great warriors. They mm-hmm. could shoot bows and arrows and sling rocks with either their left hand or their right hand.
Okay.
That's just like you love basketball. I love basketball too. That's like being able to shoot the ball with your left or your right. You know, most of the time we use one hand more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But these mighty warriors could use both hands equally.
Okay.
They call it ambidextrous. So mm-hmm. they were ambidextrous. So like you said, they have to be multitaskers. You never know what they were doing with that other hand. While they were slinging a rock with the left hand, they could have been picking up something else or fighting off the enemy with the right hand.
And being just as forceful and just as strong, just as mighty.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They could be slinging a rock with the left hand and throwing an arrow or a spear with the right hand.
Right.
So they were very useful to David in war. They okay. were mighty warriors. And we'll see once we get to the end that all of them were mighty warriors.
That's
from
right.
from the various tribes.
That's right. And so, and you're absolutely right. And so David is really developing his inner circle, as we said earlier. And it was important that they were men who were able to not just focus on one thing and do it well, but focus on a variety of things and do them well. And one of the things that I found out as I was studying this, as it relates to us and making it relevant to us, how a leader's potential is determined by those closest to him.
Mm.
And so many times when you have people around you who are strong, who are powerful, who bring a set of skills and gifts to the table, mm-hmm. it lessens the stress and the strain on the leader in terms of how he or she has to function,
mm-hmm.
because he or she has people who are well able to continue to do what's necessary in order to complete the task.
Amen. And it strengthens the leader's leadership.
That's right.
Because they bring something to the table that help to lift the arms
mm-hmm.
of the leader. And so it's very important that leaders not be intimidated by others who are strong in their or gifted in their particular area.
That's right.
You know, and no one person, God has not given any one person every gift that they need.
No.
You know, that's why we need each other.
That's right.
You know, when they say that no man is an island, that mm-hmm. means no man is able to function or be sustained alone. So we have to align ourselves with those who have capabilities that are stronger than what we might be
mm-hmm.
weak in.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right.
If we're weak in finances, we need to hire a financial person.
That's
you
right,
know,
that's right.
If we're not good at whatever, mm-hmm. you know, we
right.
need to seek for a person that will strengthen us in that area to complement our leadership.
And, you know, a lot of times people can be intimidated by those who bring those qualities to the table. But and we have to make sure that we understand clearly that it takes all of that
mm-hmm.
in order for us to be successful. I need that skill, the skill, mm-hmm. your skill, my skill, all of the skills, all of the gifts working together. It's similar to the fivefold ministries mm-hmm. that described in Ephesians and how mm-hmm. important it is for us, for the body to function
mm-hmm.
and flow as God has intended, then there should be clarity in terms of the use of the gifts. And I know some people have what they call a dominant personality.
Mm-hmm.
And many times when you have a lot of people who have a dominant personality mm-hmm. in the same room, sometimes it clashes, and sometimes you might see things seem as if it's going off the rail. But all of that is healthy if people understand their role and their responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, somebody once said, you know, we all headed to Chicago, but we might take a different route to get there.
Okay.
You know, so we know how to, some people might take 55, some people might take 57 to get to Chicago. Some people might even take another route. But as long as we all end up in Chicago at the same place, that's what's important.
Okay. You know,
and so we all have different gifts and abilities. We all take a different route on how we arrive at the answer. But as long as we're working together, then we'll be okay.
Okay. Well, here's a couple of things as David is pulling together his team, and as we've indicated, he has these mighty men of valor, and we'll see that come out in the scriptures as well. Why don't we do this before I make these comments? Let's read maybe down through verse number 12, and then let's come back and just kind of talk about some of the characteristics and some of the things that David needed and some of the things that he pulled together for his core people, if you will, the ones that were surrounding him. In order to strengthen him, he needed some people that were loyal and some that had a certain set of gifts in order to complement him in terms of his leadership.
Okay. We're starting with the third verse of 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. The chief was Ahaziah, then Joash, the son of Shema, the Gibeonite, Jeziel, the Pelite, the Pelet, the sons of, you have me read all
these hard words,
all these names. The son of Asmavet.
Well, just drop down right here because it talks about they were mighty men.
Yes, the fourth verse.
Right. That's where I'm trying to land around that fourth verse.
Okay, Ishmael, the Gibeonite. I can say those.
Okay.
Ishmael, the Gibeonite, a mighty man. Among the 30 and over the 30.
And then drop down to verse number 8, because it's still describing and talking about the names of the people, the men who were around him.
Some Gadites joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness, mighty men of valor, men trained for battle, who could handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as gazelles on the mountains.
Okay, stop right there. Because what we see here is that they were mighty men of valor. And we heard that expression before. But these were men that really had a unique set of skills. And they were gifted. And so David needed to find people, first of all, who had the skills, had the gifts, who was loyal and committed. Who were willing to, who he delegated responsibility based on their ability, and then also those who were strong in terms of what they brought to the table.
Amen.
And you know, that's what ministry in the church is all about. And just like the comment about I shared earlier, how someone said, Pastor, you better watch out. Lady Kim, she's preaching real strong. And that I don't have no problem with that. I really do. I would go on vacation, but I want to stay and support you. And I know
you're not gonna leave me.
That's what I'm saying. And I can't leave you if I'm going on vacation, because that ain't gonna work. But no. Just like on this coming Sunday, Dr. Qualise is going to be standing tall. And, you know, we got powerful, strong, gifted individuals around us who can handle the task. And not all of us bring the same set of skills to the table. But when we put it all together and when we get everybody who's willing to be loyal and committed and devoted to the growth of the church. We didn't say anything about how God added to the church yesterday.
That's right.
And how
hallelujah.
All of this began, people who are viewing from the outside, they will begin to see how it's working together. And we do know Romans 8 and 28 tells us that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And so that inner circle, I keep coming back to that, is very important in terms of being resourceful and having the kind of energy and the kind of attitude that's necessary in order to produce what God has laid and assigned for us to do.
And you know what else I like? You said that they were committed to David. You know, these men could handle their business
That's
when
right.
it was time to handle business.
That's right.
You know, and a lot of times they said they could handle, that they were trained for battle. That
right.
meant they were skilled, that they practiced their skill. They could handle the shield and the spear.
Right, right.
You know, I don't know what their faces had to do with that. They said their faces were like lions' faces, and they were
that was probably
as fast
a mean
as gazelle. Yeah, they had mean faces.
That's right. They didn't take anything.
Yeah, and they were fast. They
right.
were swift as gazelles. They could probably run. You know, they probably run marathons. And you know how these cross-country runners
mm-hmm.
can run fast and run long and run hard and run strong. So when David needed them, that they were there and they were ready. And it's a sad state of affairs when you have people in place. When you need them, you can't find them.
You can't find them.
Yeah.
They're
when you ask them to
found.
Do something, you ask them
they
to
come
do
up with
something.
A bunch of excuses.
Excuses. And they have the gifts, the skills, and the abilities.
All right.
But in the face of, you know, time to stand up or step up, you can't find them.
Okay. Are there any comments there, Lady Kim, as
Not
we're
yet.
Moving forward? And so we're just describing here in this 12th chapter of First Chronicles the skill set and the leaders that David has placed around him to help him go forth. And there are some powerful lessons here about David and his leadership, I believe, that speaks to us all. Because whether you know it or not, you are a leader in some form or some capacity, even if it's not at church. It might be on your job. It might be in your family. It might be in a relationship. But all of us have the ability to lead, and we should be well prepared for when the time does come mm-hmm. for us to step out in terms of leadership, to step into to that role mm-hmm. and not be, you're going to be anxious, but not be intimidated mm-hmm. because greater is he that's within us mm-hmm. than he that's within the world. Mm-hmm. And here's another thing I saw here, Lady Kim, is our good friend, Dr. John Tonstall from Los Angeles has joined us. Discernment comes before decision.
All right.
Yeah, discernment comes before decision. And so people are probably saying, well, where is that? And as we are moving through First Chronicles, the 12th chapter, see what verse number 32 says, Lady Kim.
Let's see, it's 20. All right, verse 32 says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command.
Okay, and so really this just describes the men who had understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. Now, you probably heard me mention this word sometime
mm-hmm.
about
understanding
the time. Mm-hmm. And there's a word called zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to share that with Matthew,
mm-hmm.
and I think I asked Noah about that word. But it really has to do with understanding the spirit of the age,
mm-hmm.
understanding the culture, the time, and then being able to make the necessary adjustments in order to move in that particular space
mm-hmm.
with a sense of purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know, because sometimes just like the culture of our day and time now, if we have no understanding of the times that we're in, we can really fumble and bumble
mm-hmm.
and you know, our way through. But if we are clear and we have clarity about the times that we're in, and I think it would help us in knowing how to pull together a strategy,
mm-hmm.
how to understand how important God's timing is in a situation,
mm-hmm.
and then how we are to respond and act accordingly based upon our understanding of the culture.
Well, you know, one thing that clearly came to my mind while you were talking about the zeitgeist or understanding the time and moving in the time, you know, prior to COVID,
mm-hmm.
we had our online platform already
in
place.
That's right.
Now, a lot of people weren't utilizing or watching
online from our particular congregation.
Right, right.
But as soon as COVID hit, we already had our online presence.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy for our people to make the transition from in-person to an online platform.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas those churches or those people who did not have an online presence, once COVID hit, they were bumbling and fumbling, trying to figure out how they could have an online presence. And so they lost something in mm-hmm. that transition. First of all, they lost a lot of time, and they lost with connecting with their members.
That's
and staying
right.
connected with their members. So that's one instance where I can think of about moving with the times,
right, right,
watching
right.
The signs of the times and moving into that age. And who would ever have figured that once COVID ended, people would still desire that online platform.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remind people that, you know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You know, we have to be together. We gain strength from each other. The testimonies, the spirit,
the
how
fellowship.
We feel the spirit move, the fellowship with one another. So it's important that we be in service. But if you cannot be in service, that online platform is certainly still available.
Okay. So the sons of Issachar, the Bible says, they had an understanding of the times.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the question I want to pose. And are you a son or a daughter of Issachar?
Mm.
Do you understand the culture and the time? Are you speaking relevant and speaking life into what we're going through at this particular time? Because when we look at the culture in Memphis, Tennessee right now, with all of the kind of suspicion and all of the, lack of clarity in terms of what's going to happen with the reforms and with policing and all of that, we have to really continue to be prayerful and not only pray, but we have to put forth some initiatives that's going to support those who are making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think our regional minister made a very relevant appeal to us as particularly the African-American congregation to make sure that we support the NAACP and other organizations who are out there on the front lines. And many times we take that for granted and think that the funding is there and that this, you know, they have enough resources, but nobody has enough resources. Mm-hmm. If we had more resources, we could do more ministry. Mm-hmm. And we already have a real aggressive plan that we're working on now, that if we had the money, that would never be an issue. But don't just take for granted that all of the people who are out there fighting on our behalf have everything that they need. But we're hoping that members of our congregation, it's just $20, $30, and you can get a year's membership in the NAACP. And I think that would really help significantly in terms of what they need for funding in order to stay relevant and helping to speak to the ills of our day.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And there are other organizations too.
Absolutely.
And so our regional minister, we praise God for her because she has a heart for people.
Yes, she does.
And she's one who has a spirit of the age.
Yes.
And so she understands the times that we're in.
Zeitgeist.
The zeitgeist. See, and that word zeitgeist, I think it's spelled Z-E-I-T-G-E-I-S-T. Somebody type that in right there. Z-E-I-T-G-E-I-S-T. Zeitgeist. And so we praise God. There's a link there on the screen now
for the NAACP,
and those who would be interested in joining. Van Turner, of course, he's the president and he leads the Memphis chapter, and I know he would be more than glad to see a donation, you know, from individuals who would help and assist them, because not only do they stand in times like this when we're faced with a lot of decisions that need to be made in terms of reform and also with law enforcement, You remember during the time when the water crisis hit Memphis, and we were a water distribution site, and we teamed with the NAACP and other organizations, and we were giving away free water. And sometimes people just think that just ordinarily happens, automatically happens. But when they have the resources to help meet those needs, then it makes it very convenient for them to be able to step up and help and assist in our in time of need.
Amen.
Yes. All right. So what? How's our time, Lady
Kim? We have 15 minutes.
Okay. So let me just encourage those of you who are just joining us, and Dr. Qualise put it out there, there's Zeitgeist, and you're welcome to look that up and help get more clarity. But are you a son or a daughter of Issachar? Are you willing to understand the culture and bring truth to light and also speak clarity in this season? Or are you just one who's just going along? But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And so in order for us to really possess all of those qualities, we have to understand, I believe, a spiritual discernment in terms of how we you know, engage ourselves in different seasons that we find ourselves in.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So look at verse number 40, the last sentence of verse number 40, and tell us what that says.
The last sentence?
Yes.
Let's see.
The last phrase in verse number 40 after that comma right there. All the way down to the bottom. Yeah.
For there was joy in Israel?
Yes, for there was joy in Israel. Mm-hmm. And so what happened as a result of them coming up with a defining statement like that at the close of this chapter is that they understood the culture. They were willing to support David in his decision-making process. They had a spirit about them that spoke to how they could help meet the needs. They had discernment of the times. That's the whole thing about Zeitgeist. And they were willing to use their gifts in such a way that it did not interfere, but it helped produce purpose. And they were people who were loyal and devoted to the cause of God as David was their leader.
Yes. And you know, you said something that struck another chord about loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think loyalty is important. And if you don't have loyal people surrounding you, and loyal means trustworthy people.
Right,
people,
right.
We talked a little bit about people who will do what they say and say what they do, you know. People who are not boastful and brag about what they do, but do it with a spirit of excellence. And so we have to be mindful of that as people of God, that we need to be loyal. And if you have an issue or a problem, take it to the leader. Mm-hmm. You know, don't let there be any rumblings and, discord or spreading rumors amongst the brothers. That causes division.
That's right.
You know. And so being loyal means that you respect your leader and you take your concerns to the leader, to the leadership.
That's good.
If you do that, God is pleased and you'll be able to work together and you'll be able to move faster and go farther.
Okay. Well, we're getting ready to wrap this whole study up tonight. There are 40 verses there, but we're not going to try to go through all of them because at the end, I think you shared in the beginning how this whole chapter really speaks to us about the importance and the significance of us really working together, being on one accord, speaking to the culture, understanding the culture or the mood or the ideas or the beliefs of the time, and then acting accordingly, and then using our gifts so that God might receive the praise, the honor, and all of the glory, and not allow the gift that God has given us to be set under a bushel, mm-hmm. but we have to lift our gift, and we have to use our gifts to the glory and honor of God.
Mm-hmm. And I think you already stated, but verses 23 through 40 just talk about the various tribes of Israel, you know, the children of Judah, the children of Simeon, the children of Levi, you know, talked about the different armies or divisions right. of the armies
right.
and what they had to bring, mm-hmm. What gifts they had to offer, you know, and I'll just lift up a few of them. The children of Judah, they had shields and spears, and they said there were 6,800 of them. You know, David had a mighty awesome army. It talked about the children of Levi, how there were 4,600 of them. Can you imagine having all these men in your army? Zadok, a young man, mighty of valor, and his father's house had 22 captains. So 22 captains came out of one household.
Wow.
You know, the children of Benjamin, the kindred of Saul, 3,000. So David had all these mighty men, thousands and thousands of men in his army. And many of them, their stronghold, or their not stronghold, but their strong suit was lifted up.
Okay, okay. Read verse number 38 again. Do you have that on your phone where you can read that one?
Verse 38.
Mm-hmm.
All these men of war who could keep ranks came to Hebron with a loyal heart mm-hmm. to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king.
Okay. So they were loyal. They were committed. Mm-hmm. They were of one mind, and they were determined to make David kingship work in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that summary say to us again, Lady Kim?
That the 12th chapter tells the story of the men who came to join David's army.
Mm-hmm.
Some had been with David since shortly after Saul, the former king, had banished him. David has now become king over all of Israel. These men were well armed and able to sling stones with both their right and left hands. They were relatives of Saul from Benjamin's tribe.
Wow. Okay. Well, I think that kind of wraps up the 12th chapter for us tonight. And if there are prayer requests or things that we need to be aware of, go ahead and type those in the margin. And you do have the link there on the screen that if you're interested in, I think it's $20 or $30.
$30
for the year to help and assist. And that's not the only avenue for, you know, resources, support. But that's one that we know they're really actively pursuing justice and trying to make things better for not just, but for all lives. And so we hope and pray that you can do that if you're able to. So any prayer requests? Do we have any prayer requests? We can only see one platform right now. But,
I'll switch over to the other one.
Okay.
I did during Bible study switch over, but I did not see any comments on that side.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, here it is. The sixth. Is it the sixth day of February?
Yes, it is. Sixth day.
And we're moving right through, and there are a couple of requests coming in. And so we praise God for each of you tonight as we have studied this 12th chapter. And I think it's a powerful lesson here about David and how he's establishing his leadership that should speak to us all as we move forward and be in all that God would have us to be.
Amen. All right. Sister Deborah Taylor asked that we keep her family lifted up in prayer. Her godmother will be funeralized on this Friday. And also, Brother Daryl will have a procedure done this week. So we want to lift him up mightily in prayer also. And we want to pray for the McGee family on the loss of a brother this past Friday. And continue to pray for Lindsay K. Strength, where her mom was funeralized this past Saturday. So keep Lindsay K.
lifted in prayers, and the McGee family also.
Okay. All right. Well, I think this Sunday, of course, we're preparing for another powerful time in the Lord, and it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's right. It's Super Bowl Sunday. So come on out to church and wear your team, your favorite team jersey. It doesn't have to be the ones playing in the Super Bowl, which is are the Eagles and the Chiefs, I believe.
That's right.
So it doesn't have to be Eagles or Chiefs. It doesn't even have to be football. If you have a favorite basketball team, Grizzlies, go Grizz. you can wear that, which I will be wearing.
You can wear your college apparel. You can college or your
fraternity or sorority.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
your favorite.
We're dressing down, and we're gonna do it like that. But I'm debating on which way I'm gonna go Sunday. I'm still trying to figure out
Grizzlies.
What I'm gonna
do? He going to Grizzlies.
But make sure you come out and support us in this this time, and we're going to just have a great time in the Lord. And we certainly praise God for those who came forth on Sunday.
Amen.
And we had two new people to join, and we also did a baby dedication. Mm-hmm. I tell you, it's just a delight to see how God is moving, mm-hmm. and how people are catching the vision, and how they're willing to step up and step in, and then bring a sense of loyalty and devotion to ATOP.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's prepare to close out tonight, Lady Kim. Will you lead us in a word of prayer as we prepare to close out? And again, happy birthday to my brother all the way down in St. Mary's, Georgia, as he's celebrating his birthday today. And we hope that he has a continued great day in the Lord as Amen. He celebrates even this evening.
Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the wisdom of your word. We thank you for blessing us to be able to study your word on tonight, God. God, we lift up the concerns of your people. We ask, God, that the procedure that Brother Daryl is going to face this week, that all goes well. We also ask, oh God, for a strength for those who are going through a time of bereavement. We lift up Sister Taylor's godmother's family. We also lift up Kevin McGee and the McGee family and the loss of that brother. And also Sister Lindsay Kay, give her strength as she funeralized her mother. We know,
Thank you, God,
that your everlasting arms can give them the peace and comfort that they need in order to face the days and the years and the months ahead, God. So we thank you for your peace that surpasseth all understanding. And we thank you for Brother Daryl's complete healing
tonight, God.
We ask, oh God, that any others that stand in need of prayer that were not mentioned, you know every need, oh God. And that's one thing about you, God, that we don't even have to mention the names because you already know the needs and what each person needs. So, God, we just give a blanket of blessing on tonight.
Thank you, God.
That you would bless those who are sick, bless those who are bereaved, bless those who are in need, oh, God, for we are all in need of something.
Yes, God.
Somewhere
yes, God.
And at some time. So we give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, and praise God. All right. Well, thank each of you for being part of this time together tonight. And look, we hope that you have an enjoyable rest of the evening. Many of you will join us tomorrow for our inspirational moment at 7 a.m. And just be encouraged, and we hope that you have a safe rest of the evening.
Amen. Good night, everybody. See y'all Sunday. Don't forget to wear your jerseys. Bye-bye.